Welcome all devotees for today's lecture. We are continuing our discussion from the 13th chapter of the first canto, chapter entitled Dhritarashtra Quits Home. So we have discussed the life sketch of Vidura as to how Vidura, although the son of a Shudrani, was constantly trying his level best to give good advice to Dhritarashtra. Vidura was a great devotee of the Lord and he was a well-wisher of all the Kauravas. In spite of Vidura's best efforts to make Dhritarashtra understand, Dhritarashtra would not listen. And ultimately, the last straw to break the camel's back was when Vidura was trying to preach to Dhritarashtra that he has to kick his son Duryodhan out of the palace. Otherwise, this Duryodhan cannot do any good to him either in this life or the next. And when Duryodhan heard this, he was too disturbed and ultimately he spoke harsh words and forced Vidura out. Hare Krishna. So Vidura traveled to various holy places, had audience with Maitreya Rishi and Uddhava, and having been fully enlightened about the real goal of life, about the most esoteric aspects of Krishna Bhakti, Vidura again decides to return home. Vidura hears that the entire Kaurava dynasty has been annihilated. All the sons of Dhritarashtra have been killed. But in spite of this, Dhritarashtra is still staying in the palace of Yudhishthira Maharaj and in the capacity of a royal uncle to Yudhishthira Maharaj is enjoying all the facilities of the palace. And when Vidura heard this, it was too much for him to bear and he decided to come back and bestow his mercy on his blind brother Dhritarashtra. Just imagine the compassion of great souls. Vidura had been repeatedly insulted and chastised when he was in the palace. Duryodhan was again and again accusing Vidura of being a great political diplomat. But in spite of being insulted so many times, Vidura still had a soft corner for Dhritarashtra. And therefore, he decided to return back. All the inhabitants of the palace of Hastinapur heard that the great soul, Mahatma Vidur, is returning. All of the residents of the palace, including all the queens, Gandhari, Draupadi, Subhadra, all the other queens who were present there, the five Pandavas, Kripacharya, and others who were present, including Dhritarashtra, were extremely pleased that at last the great soul, Vidura, whom we have not seen for such a long duration of time, has decided to return back. And all of the residents of the palace felt as if life is returning back into their dead bodies. They were in so much of bliss that Mahatma Vidur is returning. All of them, including Dhritarashtra, knew within the heart that Vidura is a very compassionate soul, completely selfless. and they were eager to receive such a great soul. So as soon as Vidura entered into the palace, Yudhishthir Maharaj immediately went and offered his most prostrated obeisances to Vidura. Vidura embraced Yudhishthir Maharaj, and then Yudhishthir Maharaj started making arrangements for Vidura's comfortable stay. Suta Goswami describes here, Tam bhukvantam vishrantam asinam sukhamasane prashrayavanato raja prahatesham chashrinvatam. First, they offered obeisances to Vidura, and then each one of the palace residents embraced the great soul. Then there were facility for taking bath, and then they offered him nice food so that he can be comfortable. And after he had eaten sumptuously, they made arrangements so that he could take a rest. And after he was well rested, then they called Mahatma Vidur, asked him to sit on an asana, and then they decided to hear from him. So it is described that the Vedic way of hospitality is very important. According to the Vedic culture, every aspect of one's life is consciously designed in such a way so as to remind us of Krishna. According to the Vedic culture, a host considers every guest who comes into the house to be just like a part and parcel of Krishna, having been personally sent by the Lord. And hence, the host takes great pleasure in serving the guest to his utmost capacity. The whole idea being remembrance of the Lord. According to one's capacity, every host would do his level best to make the guest comfortable. And the standards in Vedic culture were so strict that if someone was unable to follow this, and if a guest comes and you looked at the guest with insulting eyes, or you stared at the guest like that, as if asking him, why did you come at this moment? Who called you here? Then there is description of a special hell where such a host will be sent, where there will be ferocious eagles, and these eagles will stare at us in the same way as we stared at the guest. And after staring for some time, the eagle will come and swoop and pluck out the eyes and go away. This is the description of hell given for not receiving guests properly. Therefore, according to Vedic culture, each and every aspect of one's life was carefully monitored, and even reception or hospitality was given great emphasis. So it is described that when Prabhupada went to the West, every time Prabhupada would go to visit some temple, there would be a fantastic reception, and that would start right at the airport. Devotees would go with mridam, kartal, and there would be a tumultuous kirtan, huge kirtan. And the whole idea being, because a great personality is coming, he has to be received properly, welcomed properly. And all the airport authorities would be completely bewildered. Who is this coming? Not even for heads of state we see such kind of reception. People chanting and dancing with all kinds of instruments. And then as soon as Prabhupada would come, the devotees would go just wild. And this was a routine affair wherever Prabhupada went, anywhere in the world. One time Prabhupada came to the airport at London, and there was a press conference immediately after the reception. And the press reporters, they had come with their cameras and everything, and they were shocked to see such a huge reception. So naturally they were curious. So they took Prabhupada to a separate lounge, and the first question asked by the reporter to Prabhupada was, "What do you think about this reception? I mean, we have never seen anything like this before. So what is your opinion about this reception which was just given?" And Prabhupada said, "I am more concerned about the reception which people give to this Krishna consciousness movement. That is my real concern. And as far as this reception is concerned, these disciples of mine, they love me. And therefore, they have brought all of this paraphernalia to show and express their love." Another time Prabhupada had said, there was a conference organized in Hilton Hotel, 5-star hotel, and in one of the posh lounge, they had organized this. And Prabhupada had arrived by a golden limousine. So naturally, the press reporters asked, "Prabhupada, is this the way a sadhu should travel? What kind of reception they are organizing? So opulent." And Prabhupada said, "Do you know what a guru means? Guru is representative of Krishna. And do you know where Krishna resides? Krishna resides in spiritual world where everything is made of Chintamani stone. Bhaktisiddhanta used to say, with one brick of Vaikuntha, I can fund all my projects for rest of eternity. That is the place Krishna resides. And the Guru is the representative of Krishna, and what have they brought? Only a limousine. That is all. They have only brought a metallic vehicle, a car made of metal. Even if they had brought a car made of solid gold, that would not have been sufficient." The reporters were completely bewildered. They couldn't make sense of what was going on, but they understood that here is a person who knows what he is speaking. So they said, "Yes, yes, what you are saying must be true." So Prabhupada was also emphatic that we should have this kind of hospitality for guests who come, because Kali Yuga is an age where anywhere you go, nobody wants anyone to enter their home. So naturally it's so common to find no trespassers. Or if you go to the West, trespassers will be shot. Such boards will be seen. So Prabhupada was going in Vrindavan and he entered somebody else's farm, and the villager came with a complete basket filled with so many vegetables. And Prabhupada accepted all the vegetables and he looked at his foreign disciples and said, "Can you imagine this anywhere in California? I enter someone else's property and they bring their produce and give to a sadhu. He doesn't know me." Jai Shishinada Gopina Ji Ki. But because the fact is, he wants to respect and welcome a sadhu who has come. Therefore he has brought all this produce. Therefore I am accepting this. Therefore in our temple also we have a guest reception department. Every guest who comes is provided, whether he has darshan or not. He may or may not get darshan, but he will always get his laddu. Therefore this hospitality is very important and is part of Vedic culture. And in the Ramayana there is description that even the Supreme Lord, Lord Ramchandra, he was extremely conscious about how to offer hospitality, what to speak of human beings, even to the monkeys. Lord Ram was feeling that we have not done much for these monkeys after Ravana had been killed and Lanka had been conquered. So all the monkeys, they approached Hanuman and said, "Let's see, we have already conquered this. Help Lord Ram in this project. Lord Ram has gone back to Ayodhya and we have returned back from Ayodhya. We are again residing in this forest. We should go to Ayodhya also. At least participate in some festivals there." And Hanumanji said, "No, you are too dangerous. You can't be kept under control. Therefore I can't take this risk. Ayodhya is a place where there are very gentle people. They are sophisticated and
I cannot control you because you are monkeys. You don't know how to behave.
Said, no, you must take us, you must take us. So Hanumanji said, fine, I will take you, but only on one condition. You will do exactly as I do. Because although I am a monkey, still I know how to behave myself. Whatever I do, you do. Okay? All of them agreed. So they went to Ayodhya, and Lord Ram was so happy to see all the monkey soldiers along with Hanumanji. And Lord Ram said, my dear Hanuman, I am so happy to see you. All the monkeys who have assisted me in this battle against Ravana, they have arrived today. I will arrange for the best kind of reception for you. So Hanumanji was very happy. He offered his obeisances to Lord Ram. All the monkeys also offered obeisances. Hanumanji got up and Ramchandra said, I know all of you must have come from a long distance, you are tired, we'll arrange for some food, some prasad. So immediately Hanumanji looked at the other monkeys and said, sit in a row. So all the monkey soldiers sat in the row and they were all looking at Hanumanji. And Lord Ram said, after you have been fed prasad, you can come and take my darshan. So they started serving prasad. And the first item they were serving was green peas, you know. And green peas, it also has a cover outside. So they were offering these green peas. And Hanumanji looked at what was being served and he took one green pea in his hand and there was a thin skin above it. So Hanumanji wanted to see whether it's cooked or not. So he took it in his hand and pressed it. When Hanumanji pressed it, the skin was left behind in his hand and the pea went up in the air. And Hanumanji looked at the pea and said, what do you mean? How dare you jump up like this without my permission? Don't you know who I am? I am Hanuman, I have just conquered Lanka and come here. And without seeking my permission, you want to jump away? I'll take care of you. And Hanuman jumped up to catch the pea. All the other monkey soldiers were watching this. I said, maybe this is the way to eat the pea. They all took the pea in their hand, threw it in the air, and they all started jumping up. Each one of the monkeys took all the peas one by one and was throwing and jumping up and down. And Lord Ramchandra came because he wanted to see how are the monkeys eating prasad. And he saw that there was no prasad. They were just jumping up and down. He said, what is going on? Kirtan or something? He said, no. We were being ordered that just do what Hanumanji does. And Hanumanji started jumping up and down behind this pea, so we are also doing the same thing. We don't know the ways of Ayodhya. Maybe this is how the guests have to behave here. So Lord Ram said, just see what a simple nature all of these monkeys have. They are just doing what they are being told. Therefore, the monkeys have given their life and soul for me, and I am ready to give up everything for these monkeys' sake. And Prabhu Ramchandra became so much pleased with all the monkey soldiers for their surrender to Hanuman. He made the best possible arrangements for all of them to stay comfortably in Ayodhya. So Lord Ram is taking care even of the monkeys, what to speak of human beings. So here, Yudhishthira Maharaj is welcoming Vidura in grand style and making all possible arrangements for him to stay comfortably. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj starts speaking to Vidura and he says, my dear uncle, do you remember how many times Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan tried to poison us? Do you know how many times we would have lost our lives if it was not for your intervention? You were just like the wings of a bird protecting its young ones. And therefore, we can never forget all the great things which you have done to protect us. And we are so happy that you have decided to come back again amongst all of us. Before the battle of Kurukshetra, Dhritarashtra's and Duryodhana's policy was peaceful annihilation. And every time it was Vidura who would provide protection to the Pandavas. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is remembering these things. So Yudhishthira Maharaj then asks, My dear uncle, while you were traveling on various parts of this earth, you were visiting so many holy places. How did you maintain yourself? Because you had not made any advance preparation, any advance planning. To go on a yatra means it requires so much of planning, so much of management. So many details have to be worked out. Each and every person has to book his tickets and his accommodation and do so many other things before going on any yatra. On just one yatra. And Vidur was simply traveling for so many holy places. He was simply traveling for years together. And he did not have any bookings. He did not know where he was going to stay, what he is going to eat. How many have the guts to walk around like this? Therefore, Vidura had been traveling to so many holy places, and Yudhishthira Maharaj was naturally anxious to know that a person who has been born and brought up in palace life means you clap your hand and you get your food. You clap your hand and there is facility to rest. And here was Vidura, who had spent his whole life in royal grandeur. He was traveling to various holy places without any advance booking, without any knowledge of where he is going to eat or sleep. Naturally, Yudhishthira Maharaj is very anxious to know, what did you do? And actually speaking, people who live in cities and who are used to things which have been planned out perfectly, even to the last detail of the train tickets being booked, they cannot understand, we cannot appreciate that in many holy places there is ample facility for everyone to be taken care of comfortably. If you go to any holy place, especially Vrindavan, there are so many mathas which give free food at various times of the day. And those who are sadhus there, they know all the details of which place gives breakfast at what time, lunch at what time, dinner at what time. And they plan their schedule accordingly. And they also know to the extent of which place gives better breakfast, which gives better lunch, and which gives better dinner. So they have their own choice. Therefore, it is not that if one doesn't have a house or a place to stay, he cannot be maintained. Worst come worst, some situation arrives. Should always know that there are many places in India where you can be comfortably situated. And if the sadhus see some funeral procession going on, they will find out which head of which matha has left his body. And then they'll calculate 13 days or 12 days from today, there'll be feast. So there is facility for feast also. So complete arrangement is made. Therefore, it is not such a difficult thing. And here Prabhupada is writing in the purport, they are maintained by free kitchen houses available. Therefore, we should not be surprised to find people like Vidura traveling all over the earth, because that was a time when people were more austere. And then, after having inquired about how Vidura had taken care of his eating and sleeping, Yudhishthira Maharaj starts glorifying the personality of Vidura. And he says, Bhavadvida Bhagavatas Tirthibhutam Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Svantasthena Gadabhrata. Bhavadvida Bhagavatas Tirthibhutam Swayam Vibho. Here it is described about Vidura. Yudhishthira Maharaj is glorifying Vidura and is saying, Bhavat Vida Bhagavatas. My dear Vidur, my dear uncle, you are actually the supreme personification of Krishna. Tirthi Bhutam Swayam Vibho. In fact, you are the sum total of all the holy places of pilgrimage. Why? Tirthi kurvanti tirthani. And you are so powerful that people visit holy places to be purified. But when personalities like you visit holy places, the holy places become purified. When people go and take bath in the holy places, then they leave behind all of their sins in the holy rivers. And the holy rivers are waiting for great personalities to come and take bath. And when they come and take bath, all their sins are taken up. What is so special about great personalities like Vidura? Why are they like Tirthas? Sva antasthena gadabhrata. Because, my dear Vidur, you are carrying the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna within your heart. Because you are carrying Krishna within your heart, you are verily a holy place of pilgrimage, personified. Someone may ask, what is so special about holy person? God is present everywhere, in everyone's heart. If God is present in everyone's heart, that means each one of us is holy place of pilgrimage. Why only glorify some great personality? Paramatma is there in everyone's heart. So I am also holy place of pilgrimage. You are also holy place. All of us are holy places of pilgrimage. What is so special? So Prabhupada gives an excellent analogy. And he says, electricity is everywhere. Electrical energy is everywhere. But still, you need a bulb to dissipate the darkness and get illumination. Just because electricity is everywhere doesn't mean wherever the electricity is being transmitted there is light. Electricity is everywhere, but to get light and illumination you need to have a bulb which works. It has to be put at the proper place. Similarly, Lord is everywhere, but the Lord is within our heart, in many of our cases, fuse bulb, or the contact is not made. The socket is there, the bulb is there, but unless the bulb goes into the socket, how there will be lamp? Similarly, within our hearts, such an event has not taken place, but great devotees have come in contact with the Paramatma in the heart. Therefore, the Supreme Lord has revealed His glories. He is illuminating their heart with His causeless mercy. Therefore, although the Lord is in everyone's heart, only within the heart of great devotees, He is illumining their hearts with the lamplight of knowledge. Therefore, here He is saying, Sva antasthena gadabhrata. You are carrying Krishna within your heart. Therefore, you are a great soul, a great sadhu, holy place of pilgrimage. We have to go and travel all the way to holy places of pilgrimage to get purified. But great devotees are so merciful that they keep traveling and keep benefiting the people. Just imagine, can holy places travel? Can we order the holy place to come to Mumbai and give us their association? Not possible. We have to travel. But great souls, they are so merciful, so munificent, that they come all the way and they give their causeless mercy. Therefore Lord Chaitanya says, sadhu sanga, sarva shastra koe, lava matra sadhu sanga, sarva siddhi hoe. Simply find one sadhu and associate with him. For how long? Lava matra. What is lava? When we blink our eyes, that fraction, when the time taken to blink our eyes is called nimesha. And lava is smaller than that. It's a smaller unit than that. Lava matra sadhu sanga sarva siddhi hoy. Just associate for a very short duration of time sarva siddhi, and you will achieve all good fortune. So one time Narad Muni, he went to Lord Vishnu, went to Lord Narayan, And he wanted to know the purport of what is the meaning of lava matra sadhu sangha. That you associate with a sadhu for a fraction of a moment and all good fortune is yours. So Narad Muni went and told Lord Narayan that, my dear Lord, I am not able to understand the meaning of this. How can it be possible that you associate just for a fraction of a moment and still every good fortune comes to you? So Lord Narayan told Narad Muni, you go down to the planet Earth and there is a fish and you will find this fish at this particular location. And you go and ask the explanation of this verse from that fish. So Narad Muni came down and he found the fish. And he told the fish, my dear fish, please tell me, what is the meaning of this? Lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. The fish looked at Narad Muni like that, suddenly gave up the body and died. And Narad Muni was bewildered. What is going on? Did I do the right thing? I simply asked for explanation. Lava matra sadhu sangha. When what is his reaction? It just died. It's a very strange kind of reaction for a question. Immediately Narad Muni went back to Narayan and said, my dear Lord, I am more bewildered than before. Previously I simply wanted explanation for this verse. Now I want explanation for why the fish died. So Lord said, don't worry. We go and find a deer in this particular forest and the deer will look like this. And you ask this deer the purport to this verse, lava matra sadhu sangha, and the deer will explain to you. Narad Muni had faith in Lord. He was bewildered by the first incident. Anyway, he had faith and he went. And he went to the deer and said, my dear deer, please tell me, what is the meaning of lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy? The deer looked at Narad Muni like this and suddenly quit its body and died. And this was too much for Narad Muni. What is going on? I am supposed to be a compassionate preacher, a sadhu, going various places and delivering people. And already there are two conditioned souls who have left their bodies. And I do not know why. More bewildered, again went to Lord Narayan. My dear Lord, what is going on? The Lord said, have patience. You go to this calf. A cow has just given birth to a newborn calf. Narad Muni said, not again. Said, have faith. Please go. Ask the explanation. You will be fully satisfied. Narad Muni was chanting the Lord's name and went to this calf. Said, my dear calf, please tell me, what is the meaning? And he was afraid. Should I say it or not? Lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. The calf looked at Narad Muni and quit its body and died. Narad Muni went to the Lord and said, enough. I don't want the explanation to this verse. I am satisfied just like that. Let there be some questions unanswered. But I don't want the answer at this expense. Lord said, relax, have faith. You go to this house of a farmer and there is a small child who has been born. You go and ask him. Said, till now it was only animals and fishes dying. You want me to go and ask a human child? Said, no, you must go, please. So Narad Muni had faith, went to this small child who had just been born and said, my dear child, please tell me, what is the meaning of this verse? Lava matra sadhu sangha. So at that time the child started speaking and Narad Muni was little pacified at last. There is some different reaction. So the child started saying that, my dear Narad Muni, don't you realize that it was I in the form of a fish, having achieved your association, became a deer immediately. And as a deer I achieved your association and was immediately promoted as a calf. And then again you came and then again I had your association. And now I am born as a human being in a devotee's family, and in this life, having taken your association and instructions, this will be the last life and I'll go back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, it is only by your association, lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy, I have been able to achieve all of these benefits. All glories to you.
And Narad Muni was relieved. So this is the mystery of why the deaths were taking place. So in this way we realize that the actual purport of this means a fraction of a second is sufficient to create such a great impact on our lives that we decide to take shelter of such great souls. Prasangam ajaram pasham atmana kavayo vidu. So esho sadhu shukruto moksha dwaram apavartam. Bhagavatam says, whatever deep attachments you have, you simply transfer those attachments towards sadhu, great souls. And when you transfer those attachments to these sadhus, automatically your heart will become purified. The soul cannot be without desire. The desires will be there. But project those desires towards association of great souls. Give your heart and soul in serving the great souls. Use all the energy in pleasing the great Vaishnavas. And in this way, the same attachment which we have for sense gratification, that same intensity will be transmitted in the service of great souls. But what will be the result? Moksha dwaram apavritam. The doors of liberation will be opened. And hence, we have to find great souls and seek their shelter. So Bhagavatam describes, who are such sadhus? Titikshava, Karunika, Suhurda, Sarvadehinam, Ajata Shatra Shanta, Sadhavo, Sadhubhushanam. Great souls are those who are tolerant, compassionate. They have great mercy towards other conditioned souls. Therefore, we have to seek their shelter. A sadhu is always forgiving by nature. And that is one of the characteristic features of Vidura. Although Vidura had been insulted so much by Duryodhan, and although Dhritarashtra had simply been a silent spectator and witness to the insults which his own son was meting out to his dearmost brother, still, Vidura had so much compassion, he was so tolerant and so forgiving, that he decided to come back. For what reason? Simply to do good to Dhritarashtra. Although Dhritarashtra had never done anything good for Vidura before, that is a sadhu. It is described in Ramayana that after Ravana had been killed, Lord Ramchandra asked Hanumanji to go and inform Sita Devi that Ravan has been killed and you are safe. So Hanumanji went to Ashok Vatika, and Sita was surrounded by all the terrible ogresses, the rakshasis, the demoness, the she-demons. So Hanumanji went in front of Sita Devi and offered his prostrated obeisances and said that, my dear goddess Sita Devi, I have very good news for you. Ravan has been conquered. He has been killed. Lord Ram and Lakshman have conquered over all the rakshasas. Lanka is ours. Vibhishan will now be the new king. You are free. In fact, this is now your own home. You are no longer in Ravan's Ashok Vatika. This now belongs to Lord Ram. Be happy. And Sita was so overwhelmed with joy that she started revealing to Hanumanji, please tell me, what can I do for you for bringing this wonderful news? My heart is overflowing with joy. So Hanumanji said, I have one desire. Whenever I see these she-demons surrounding you with their horrible looking faces, the kind of treatment they have meted out to you, I can't forget that. Therefore it is my great desire that each of these she-demons who are surrounding you and guarding you, I have a desire to punch them, to kick them, to slap them, to break their teeth. And after that, pull out each one of their hairs and then pick up their bodies and hit it on the ground just as a washerman hits
clothes, and after repeatedly subjecting them to so much of torture, ultimately destroy them and kill them. Because I cannot tolerate to see the kind of insults which they have subjected you to, the kind of sharp rebuking words they have spoken to you. To you, Sita Devi, my mother, how it is possible that I can tolerate this? Therefore, that is my great desire. You just give me a signal and I will do the needful. I will take care of everything. You don't have to do anything. First point out to me the one who has troubled you the most, and I will start my business immediately. So Hanumanji was ready, and all the she demons were trembling, because they could see that this monkey means business. He really is determined to do what he is saying. And they were all looking at Sita Devi with fearful faces, and their eyes were terror stricken. Till now they were terrorizing Sita Devi, but seeing Hanumanji in that mood, they were completely bewildered. And Sita Devi looked at their faces, and she could understand that they are begging her, please have some mercy on us. Even by mistake, if Sita Devi's hand had gone like this, Hanumanji would have started. So Mother Sita looked at Hanumanji and said, please, please, my dear Hanuman, please try to understand. These she demons are, after all, only the servants of Ravana. They did not have any desire to subject me to torture, but they were working under the orders of Ravana. Therefore, they are not at fault. And now, since the time Ravana has been killed, and they have understood that Ravana is no longer alive, they have not ill-treated me. After Ravana's death, they have become very sober, and they are dealing very nicely with me. Therefore, in my opinion, we should forgive them. And in fact, I would like to quote an incident from the Puranas to illustrate this fact. And Sita Devi said, Ayam Vraga Samipetu Purodharma Samahita. And Sita Devi quoted an incident from the Puranas to Hanuman to explain her point about how we should be forgiving. And Sita Devi said, one time there was a hunter who was chasing a tiger in the forest. As he was chasing the tiger, suddenly he stumbled and his bow and arrow fell down. And the tiger looked back and saw that the hunter is helpless. So the tiger turned back and started chasing the hunter. So the hunter started running at full speed, and he didn't have any place to go. So he saw a tree. Hunter climbed up the tree. And when he climbed up the tree and was just trying to relax on the tree, he saw that next to him was sitting a bear, a black, huge bear. And he looked at him and he was shocked. He had tried to escape from a tiger, and he climbed up the tree and he has bumped into a bear. And he was wondering, the tiger could not catch me, but maybe the bear will eat me up, or hit me or do something. So immediately the hunter started pleading with the bear, please, please protect me. The tiger is chasing me. I have taken your shelter. So at that time the tiger approached at the base of the tree and looked up. And he started speaking to the bear. And he said, my dear bear, this hunter is our common enemy. You are animal, I am animal. Both of us are animals. So let us come together and we'll destroy this hunter. All you have to do is, hunter is sitting next to you, give him a push. I'll take care of the rest. Just give him a push. Once he falls down, I will take care. And the bear said, impossible. How can I do this? In good faith, he has surrendered to me, taken my shelter. It is against religious principles to kill someone who has taken your shelter. I can't do this. And the bear went off to sleep peacefully on the top of the tree. The tiger looked up at the hunter and said, my dear hunter, I have a proposal for you. I will protect you. Give the bear a push. Push the bear down. And once the bear falls down, I will take care of the rest. You will be freed. I am feeling very hungry. I need something. So the hunter, a human being, He looked at the bear. The bear was sleeping and the hunter pushed him. And the bear started falling down, but because he's a bear, expert in all these activities of the forest, somehow he put his hand on one of the branches and he started hanging from one of the branches, didn't fall down, again pulled himself up and sat back on the tree and looked at the hunter. He was shocked. So at this time, the tiger saw that the bear has seen what kind of behavior the hunter has engaged in. So the tiger started speaking to the bear again. Just see the hunter. What has he done to you? And you are trying to protect him, give him shelter? Come on, still there is time. Push him down. And when the bear heard this, he replied and he said, Na para papa madate paresham papa karmani. A great saintly person's behavior is that he neither becomes entangled in other people's sinful activities, nor does he engage in sinful activities even to protect his own self against enemies. Even when a person is an enemy, he shows his compassion and tolerance and forgiveness. And therefore, I cannot do this against this hunter. He has taken my shelter. He may be sinful. He may be trying to kill me, do anything. But as far as I am concerned, just because someone is sinful, it is not that I counteract that with sinful activities. That is not the solution. Therefore, I will decide to show compassion, mercy and forgiveness. It is not the quality of great souls. We simply have compassion upon them and show our forgiveness towards them. And Vidura, being a great soul, a great sadhu, just by his act of coming back after having received the great nectarian association of Maitreya Rishi and Uddhava, we can understand what is his quality as a sadhu. He has so much compassion, so much of forgiveness. He could have thought, let Dhritarashtra go to hell. What should I do with him? What did he give me after all? I spent my whole life screaming at him, advising him, doing so many things. What did I get in return for all the advice I gave him? Only insult. And he threw me out unceremoniously. Let that rascal go to hell. Serves him right. But Vidura did not think like this. Vidura was not envious. Vidura had not come back simply to get a share of the kingdom. Vidura had not come back thinking that now I have fed up traveling all these holy places. Let me have a comfortable place in the palace. Vidura had not come back looking for that also. Vidura had simply come back to show his compassion upon Dhritarashtra. So it is described by Suta Goswami that Vidura stayed in the palace of Yudhishthira Maharaj for some time, being treated like a demigod. Kanchit kalam matavatsit satkrito devavat sukham. Yudhishthira Maharaj was giving him royal reception. All possible comforts was being provided. But was Vidura there simply to get all this opulence and luxury? No. What was his purpose? Bhatur jeshtasya shreyaskrit sarvesham sukhamavahan. He had simply come to deliver Dhritarashtra. And that was his great mercy on Dhritarashtra. Therefore, Vidura was there simply to deliver a fallen soul like Dhritarashtra and give him instructions. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, how can we understand that Vidura was not attached to all of this royal welcome being given to him? Vidura was already in the renounced order of life and he had already tasted the higher bliss involved in this life. He had not come to enjoy any of the material comforts, but he simply accepted whatever Yudhishthira Maharaj provided because it was his duty. But his whole plan was somehow to deliver Dhritarashtra. And what was Dhritarashtra's pitiable condition? Why was Dhritarashtra's condition pitiable? Because he had lost his entire state in the battle against the Pandavas, lost each one of his sons, and on top of it, Yudhishthira Maharaj, out of his great magnanimity, had offered Dhritarashtra a place to stay in the palace. Dhritarashtra had tormented the Pandavas in collusion with all the other Kauravas for so many years. There was arson, poisoning, so many schemes and intrigues and politics simply to kill the Pandavas. The entire battle of Kurukshetra was fought because of provocations of Duryodhan and Dhritarashtra. And at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, when millions and millions of soldiers had left their bodies, leaving behind fatherless children and widows to suffer and cry and lament, Dhritarashtra has the audacity to continue to stay in the royal opulence along with Yudhishthira. He doesn't even have 1% of remorse or shame. And that is what was striking Vidura so much in the heart. How can a person be so shameless? And that is why Vidura returned back. That is the real reason why he came back. To open his eyes. At least towards the end of his life, he should have some spiritual vision. That is the mercy of great souls. So that was Vidura's plan. To enlighten Dhritarashtra, to give him a lift to higher status of spiritual life, because that is a duty of great souls. Now, Prabhupada asks in the purport that somebody may question, how can a Shudra instruct a Kshatriya? Dhritarashtra is a Kshatriya and Vidura is a Shudra. How can a Shudra have the audacity to instruct a Kshatriya? So Prabhupada answers by saying that actually Vidura may have been born in a Shudra family. So there are two aspects to this: Vidura's present life and Vidura's real identity. If you consider Vidura's present life, okay, agreed, he was born as Shudra. But then what did he do? Gave up all family attachments, gave up all politics in the palace, and went and took shelter of Maitreya Rishi. He was initiated by him, heard instructions from him, and ultimately was freed from all attachments, was realized into the topmost platform of Krishna consciousness by such association of great souls. And therefore, whatever he was speaking was in the capacity of an acharya, of a guru, who had realized this knowledge by mercy of previous acharya. Therefore, there is no question of any birth. Kiba vipra, kiba nyasi, shudra keninoi. Yei Krishna Tattva Veta Se Guru Hoy. Therefore nobody can argue that Vidura was a Shudra, because his qualities was of that of a great Acharya. If you consider Vidura to be Yamraj, because actually Vidura is Yamraj, and Yamraj was cursed, as we have described in a couple of classes before. Yamraj was cursed by Manduka Rishi, and because of that curse, he has been born as Vidura. And who is Yamraj? Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumaro, Kapilo, Manu, Prahalado, Janako, Bhishma, Balir, Vaiyasaki, Vayam. Yamraj is one of the 12 Mahajans. Therefore, as Mahajan, Vidura or Yamraj has full authority to describe the glories of the Lord. And why does Yamraj come here? Because many times he has a desire to preach, but because his desires are not fulfilled, the Lord makes arrangement for him to be cursed so that he can come down. Therefore, the real identity of Vidura is that is actually Yamraj. So we can understand that as Yamraj, how powerful he is, but still he is so humble that he is sitting and tolerating all the insults of Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan. So it is described that one time Ravana He was tormenting all of the various lands on this planet Earth. So Narad Muni approached Ravana and he said to Ravana that, "My dear Ravan, the residents of this planet Earth are anyway caught up in so much of misery. They are anyway subjected to birth, old age, disease and death. Why are you tormenting them any further? They are already dead. They are already dead because of their host of problems. Why are you killing them further? Therefore you better go and take care of Yamaloka, because there Yamaraj is very powerful. And if you conquer him, then that will be real success." So Ravana had gone all the way to the abode of Yamaraj to conquer Yamaraj. And he saw all the Yamadutas and started fighting with the Yamadutas. And hundreds and thousands of Yamadutas, they started attacking Ravana. What Ravana did was, he caught hold of all of those sinful entities who were being punished and freed them. And they were very happy that at last some savior has come to free us. But when the Yamadutas saw that without our permission, Ravana is pulling them, the Yamadutas attacked Ravan. And then ultimately Ravan, he started attacking them. And he started defeating the Yamadutas. And Yamaraj was so angry that he personally came. He took his Kala Chakra. And he came armed with the Kala Chakra, the weapon of time. And there was a terrific battle between Yamaraj and Ravan. And ultimately Yamaraj was so angry that he wanted to use that Kala Chakra against Ravan. He was about to use it and destroy Ravana when Brahma came. And Brahma started requesting Yamaraj that, "See, I have given this benediction to Ravana that he cannot be killed by any demigod. Please don't use this Kala Chakra for my sake." So Yamaraj said, "If I stand in front of Ravana, I can't control my anger, I will destroy him. Therefore let me disappear." And at that time, Yamaraj disappeared. And Ravana was so foolish, he thought that he had defeated Yamaraj. And he started boasting, "How powerful I am, how powerful I am." Ravana would have been killed by Yamaraj that day. So that is the power of Yamaraj. That Yamaraj would have killed Ravana in 1 second. But still he did not do so. And that same Yamaraj is coming as Vidura. He has the full power of Yamaraj. But still, he is so merciful, he is so compassionate, sitting so humbly. And after all, the qualification of devotee is not based on one's birth. Vibhishan was the brother of Ravana. Ravana was killed by Lord Ram, but what happened to Vibhishan? Vibhishan left the association of Ravana and came to surrender to Lord Ram. And he came along with his Rakshasa associates and he was standing up in the sky surrounded by these Rakshasas. And Sugriva saw. Immediately Sugriva, he started shouting that the Rakshasas have come, we have to destroy them. And when Vibhishan heard this, he said, "My dear monkeys, please hear me, I have come to surrender to the Supreme Lord Ram. Please accept me. Please accept this plea of a fallen soul. I want to surrender to the Supreme Lord." Sugriva went inside and told Lord Ram that, "My dear Lord, a Rakshasa has come and he claims to be the brother of Ravana. He could be a spy. He could enter into our kingdom and destroy all of us. So we should take care of him." So Lord Ram looked at other monkey soldiers and he looked at Angad and said, "My dear Angad, what is your opinion? What should we do?" Angad said, "He is a new man and therefore we have to find out whether he has good qualities or faults. And depending on that, we'll decide." Lord Ram looked at Sharabha and said, "My dear Sharabha, what is your opinion?" Another monkey was sitting there and he said, "My dear Lord, I think he could be a spy. Therefore, we have to test him." Lord Ram looked at Jambu and said, "Jambu, what is your opinion?" And Jambu said, "My dear Lord, he is the brother of Ravana. And Ravana is envious and cruel. In my opinion, this person has come at the wrong time and place. This is not the right time. We are going to have a war and the brother of Ravana has come here." And Lord Ram looked at Mahinda, another monkey, and said, "What is your opinion?" And Mahinda said, "We should send someone to just find out what is in the heart of this person. And then once he reveals, then we'll know."
Lord Ram looked at Hanumanji and said, "My dear Hanuman, what is your opinion?" And Hanumanji, he started saying that, "My dear Lord, I am not going to speak because of logic or argument or as a competition, but simply to please you, my opinion is that Angad is saying that we have to find out whether he has good qualities, but unless you engage him in service, how can you find out? And he is too new to be engaged in service. Sharab is saying he could be a spy. A spy doesn't come in front of you and say that I am so and so. A spy remains at some far distance. And here we have Jambavan who is saying that this is not the right time and place. In my opinion, this is the perfect time and place because he has left his inferior brother and come to take shelter of the superior personality, Lord Ram. And as far as Jambavan is Mainda is concerned, if he sends someone to find out what is in his heart, he will become more suspicious. And I can see his voice is steady, his face looks clear, he doesn't have any bad intention, otherwise he won't come in front." And when Lord Ram heard this, he said, "Very good, what Hanumanji is saying is right, we should accept him." At that time Sugriva started protesting, "No, my dear Lord, after all he is a Rakshasa. Rakshasa is always a Rakshasa. He can never be accepted as your servant." Lord Ram said, "Why are you becoming so paranoid? We'll just accept him and see, find out." Sugriva said, No, you can't do this, you can't do this." Lord Ram said, "What do we have to fear? And anyway, my dear Sugriva, you have forgotten. Pishachan dana vanyakshan prithivyan chaiva rakshasan angulya grena tan hanyan ichhan hari ganeshwara. As far as I am concerned, what is my power? Even if he is some great personality or he has come with evil intentions, I can simply crush all the Pishachas, Danavas, Rakshasas with the tips of my finger. That is my power. Have you forgotten, Sugriva? Therefore, I have no problem. Just let him come, because it is my great promise. Sakrideva prapannoyas tavasmiti yache abhayam sarvadatasmai dadamye tadbratam mama. Even if once a person comes in front of the Lord and says, "My dear Lord, I am yours. Sakrideva prapannoyas tava asmi. I am yours, my dear Lord. Accept me." Lord Ram says, "Abhayam sarvadatasmai. Such a person should be fearless forever. Dadami etat vratam mama. This is my promise. Therefore, what to speak of Vibhishan?" Lord Ram says, "Anenam harisreshta dattamasya bhayam maya Vibhishanova sugriva yadiva ravana swayam." Whether it is Vibhishan or it is Ravan himself, bring him inside. And if he says, "I want to take your shelter," I am ready to give shelter to anyone, irrespective of caste, creed, species, anything. All I am looking is desire to surrender. And if that desire is there, he is perfectly bona fide. "Go, Sugriva." And Sugriva started saying, in fact, because Hanumanji is saying, and you are also saying, I think your opinion is valid. I also feel that he is not so bad after all. And Lord Ram said, "It took you such a long time to understand. I am telling you, even once a person surrenders, anyway, what do I have? I don't have my kingdom. I am in the forest. What harm can he do? And I am telling you, with the tips of my fingers, I can crush millions and millions of people. What he can do to me? Therefore, you bring." And Vibhishan was brought, and he surrendered to the Lord, and he became the greatest devotee of Lord Ram. So on one hand was Ravana. On the other hand was Vibhishan. On one hand is Dhritarashtra. On the other hand is Vidura. One is a non-devotee, a demon. The other is a great devotee. But here, Vidura has gone one step ahead and is displaying his supremest compassion to his non-devotee demoniac brother Dhritarashtra, and has come all the way back from the places of pilgrimage where he was enjoying ecstatic pastimes of the Lord, hearing and chanting, simply to open the eyes of the blind Dhritarashtra. And what Vidura will speak to Dhritarashtra, what instructions he will give to him, and how he will reveal real spiritual knowledge to his blind brother Dhritarashtra, That we shall see in future classes. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Material activities are performed due to false ego. So whether prescribed duties fall under which category? And what is the practical way to release oneself from the conception of false ego?
What is your first question? What is difference between prescribed duties and?
No, material activities are performed due to false ego.
Yeah.
So whether prescribed duties fall under which category?
So let us try to understand the difference between prescribed duty and any normal activity. There is a sweet, and the child is given a sweet to eat. So he likes the taste of the sweet. But suppose the child has a disease, and the disease has to be cured. So what the parents will do is, they will take some medicine and mix it with the sweet. And the same sweet is given, but now it not only tastes sweet, but it will also have a therapeutic effect. It will cure the child of his disease. So karma we have to do. We cannot stop activity. Krishna says in Gita, nahi kaschit kshanam api jat tishthati akarmakrit. You can't stop your activities even for 1 second. Not possible. You have to do activity. But what kind of activity? Karyate. Krishna says, karma, akarma and vikarma. There are three kinds. So what you are referring to is vikarma. Vikarma means nonsensical activities, whimsical activities without sanction of shastras. That is vikarma. And 99.9% of what is going on in Kali Yuga is vikarma. Destination of vikarma? Hell. The second is karma, means prescribed duties. So duties are there, enjoyment is required, but that enjoyment is curtailed or sanctioned by the shastra. So when you perform these activities or yajnas, according to instructions of the Vedic literature, you not only get the benefit of that yajna, you not only get the benefit of that sense enjoyment, but at the same time, because you have taken the bona fide Vedic shelter, there is purification. So medicine is also acting. At the same time, the taste is also sweet. Whereas, simply if you just take the sweet, it is not going to have any medicinal effect. Therefore, prescribed duty means you do the work, you do your activity, but follow the particular process recommended in Vedas to get that sense gratification. And third is akarma. That means we perform activities and offer the fruits of the result to Krishna. Such an activity has no reaction. It will have absolutely no reaction. So Krishna says in Gita, kim karma kim akarmeti kavayopi atra mohita tatte karma pravakshami yad gyatva mokshase ashubhat. What is this karma, what is this akarma, what is this vikarma? Very difficult to understand. Kavayopyatra mohita, even great souls are bewildered by this. Therefore tatte karma pravakshami, therefore I am the supreme most authority, I will tell you what is karma, what is akarma and what is vikarma. So what Ravana was doing was vikarma. That means whimsical activities for sense gratification, trying to usurp the property of Lord without his sanction. Therefore what was the result? Lord Ram took his arrow, shot Ravana down, and Lord, it is described in the Bhagavatam, before shooting his arrow, Lord Ram, he first chastised Ravana and he called him the stool of a man-eater. You most abominable stool of a man-eater, you are just like a dog. Just like a dog steals away items from the kitchen, when the owner of the house is not there, similarly you have stolen away Sita Devi in my absence. Therefore, I will now show you the actual result of your activities. And he shot him his arrow. And that arrow went and pierced Ravana right in the heart. And Ravana fell down dead. But then, the same Lord Ram gave complete mercy to his own brother, Vibhishan. Because Vibhishan surrendered unto Lord Ram and offered everything in his service. That is akarma. The same Lanka, Vibhishan was ruling. But now, what was the difference? The difference was that now there was no reaction at all. Because it was under the Lord's sanction and permission. Never in history we find that the Lord kills a demon and then he becomes the king there. Always we find, even in Krishna Leela, even after Lord killed Kamsa, he didn't become the king. He made Ugrasen the king. In this way the Lord is not attached, but he wants his devotees to surrender and offer their fruits. The Lord is dealing with monkeys in the forest. And what were the monkeys doing? Just serving the Lord according to their best capacity. Therefore it is described that Lord is so merciful to his devotees that he is willing to bestow the most merciful association even to the lowest species, the monkeys. How many people would like to travel with monkeys? How many people would like to be seen with monkeys as part of their regular entourage? How many people will go to a studio and take photograph with a monkey? But we see, whenever we have the picture of Lord Ram, there is Hanuman. Because Hanuman is not just a monkey, he is the greatest devotee of the Lord. So Lord doesn't see the species. The Lord sees the devotion in the heart. Greatest demigods are coming and bowing down to the Lord. The greatest demigods, take the child outside, it's creating disturbance. So the greatest demigods, they are coming and bowing down in front of the Lord. But what is the Lord doing? The Lord is himself giving up completely unto the desires of the monkeys. Yo rochayata sahamrigai swameshwaranam shrimat kirita tata pidita pada pita. The greatest demigods are coming and taking their jewel studded crowns and offering obeisances to the Lord. And what is the Lord doing? The Lord is playing with the monkeys. Can you imagine a great powerful personality, a minister or a prime minister or a chief minister, walking to the parliament with monkeys? He's surrounded by monkeys. How many people want to increase their prestige by being seen in the association of monkeys? But the Supreme Lord doesn't care for any of these things. To be a monkey, if you call someone you monkey, it is never considered some great compliment, right? But what was the Lord doing? The Lord was always surrounded by monkeys. Why? What was so special? Because they had devotion in their heart. They were surrendered to him. And therefore whatever activities they do, that is accepted by the Lord. Therefore whatever a person does for his own sense gratification, that is never accepted. Ultimately that will lead to misery only. Sense gratification is equal to misery. If it takes few lifetimes to understand this equation, but we are able to understand this, that is success. Sense gratification is equal to misery. That is the equation we have to learn in life. But the only problem is we are too weak in maths. We are too weak in this mathematics. And it takes us so many attempts in so many lives before we are able to come to this conclusion. Krishna says, "Yahi samsparshaja bhoga dukha yonaya." So many people chastised and warned Ravana Be happy with all the queens you have. Prasida Lankeshwara Rakshasendra Lankam Prayachha Bhavasadugachha Tvam Sveshu Dareshu Ramasvanityam Rama Sabharyam Ramatam Vaneshu. Marich, he gave his warning to Ravana. My dear Ravana, is there any dearth of beautiful queens in your palace? Prasida Lankeshwara, be happy. Go back to Lanka. Lankam prayachha, bhavasa adugachha, and go back with all of your limbs intact. Why do you want to break your limbs? I had my experience with Ram when he was a small child, when he was not even fully armed, fully trained, and then he threw me into the ocean 800 miles. And now he's a full-blooded Kshatriya. What hope do you have? Lankam prayachya. Go, Ravana, go. Go back to Lanka. Be happy. Tvam sveshu dareshu ramasvanityam. Enjoy with your queens happily in Lanka. So many beautiful queens are there, and it is described in Ramayana, not even one single queen had any blemish or any fault. All perfect, faultless. From various parts of the universe they had come. Some Ravan had captured and others had personally come to take shelter of Ravan. Hundreds and thousands of queens. Tvam sveshu dareshu. Be happy with your quota. What is your problem? Be happy with your own queens. Rama sabharyam ramatam vaneshu. And let Ram be happy with his queen in that forest. What is your problem? That is the problem. We are not satisfied with any amount of sense gratification. 1 lakh queens in his own palace, but one more. Just a little more. I want this one more. And that was the cause of his destruction. That means sense gratification can never satisfy us. Be happy. You be happy with your queens. Let Ram be happy with his wife. No, I want that also. Then die. Who can stop you? Who can protect you? No one can protect you. Rama sabharyam ramatam vaneshu. Let Ram be happy there. But what were the monkey soldiers doing? The monkey soldiers were voluntarily giving up everything for the Lord's cause. Hanumanji returned back after taking the news of Sita. And when Lord Ram heard that Hanumanji has brought the news of Sita, he was so happy. He started glorifying Hanumanji and said, there are 3 categories of servants. The best is that servant who just does what the master tells and also does other things which the master may not have told. The second category of servant just does exactly whatever the master has told him. And the third category, he can't even do properly what the master has said. But you, Hanumanji, are of the first order. That you are trying your maximum, your level best. Not only did you find out Sita, which was so difficult because Hanumanji had to travel through all the various palaces, and inside the palace of Ravan, he found Ravana surrounded by so many beautiful, half-naked queens of Ravana in the middle of the night. They were all in different states of undress and completely intoxicated, lying with their arms on each other. And Hanumanji was trying to find out who is Sita, where is Sita amongst them. And then Hanumanji started thinking, what am I doing? I am Brahmachari. I am supposed to be a celibate. And I am here in someone else's house in the middle of the night and looking at the forms of his queens. Is this the characteristic of a Brahmachari? Is this how I should behave? Is there a sin involved in this? Have I done the right thing? I have looked at all of these women with my eyes in the middle of the night. What is this? Maybe this is sin. But then Hanumanji, he started contemplating in his mind. The senses have interacted with the sense object. But where was my mind?
My mind was firmly fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Ram, and I did not have a desire to enjoy them. And that was a lesson.
If joy is not there, then that is not sin. Therefore, the real root cause of all problems is the desire to enjoy sense gratification, independent of the Lord, and that is vikarma. So even Ravana had seen Sita, and Hanumanji was also seeing so many beautiful women. But what was the difference in the vision? He was seeing everything as property of Lord, and he was simply trying to find out, how can I serve my Lord the best? Although he was seeing with his own eyes. And then he started contemplating in his mind that, if I want to find deer, where will I find a deer? In a group of deer. If I want to find horses, I will find in a group of horses. If I want to find an elephant, I will go where all the elephants are tied up. If I want to find a queen who has been kidnapped, which is the most likely place she will be kept? Not the stable, not the place where elephants are kept. Definitely amongst other queens. Therefore, Hanumanji was introspective, was trying to find out, what is my motivation to come here and look at all these women? Was the motivation just sense gratification? No. I came here impelled by the desire to find out where Sita Devi is, because this is the most logical place she will be. Because she is a queen and has been kidnapped, naturally the possibility is she will be kept with other queens. And in spite of having seen so many beautiful forms, Hanumanji didn't stop. He continued ahead in his task. So it was such a difficult task. Hanumanji was having so many doubts in his mind. Is Sita really alive? Has she fallen down from the Pushpak Viman and died? She committed suicide? Has Ravan eaten her alive? There were so many doubts. But then again he resolved, this doubt is like a demon. It is my greatest enemy. It is stopping me from progressing towards the ultimate goal of serving my master. In the service to my master, success will not come so easily. There will be so many impediments, obstacles, troubles. I have to overcome this on the basis of faith. Sita represents bhakti. Hanumanji represents devotee. Devotee cannot come in contact with bhakti so fast, so soon. He will have to go through many obstacles. But Hanumanji was able to defeat all the external obstacles very easily. He could defeat all the various demons who were coming in the way. But the more formidable obstacle for Hanumanji was from within, the doubts. Give up this mission. Go back to Lord Ram. And there were so many doubts, what will happen? If I go back, all the other monkeys will laugh at me. Hanumanji, you said big things, and you jumped 100 yojans, making a big show. What happened? Finished. Come back. No Sita, that is all. We were better off. We didn't try at all. Like that, a devotee will have doubts. I have jumped so far. Now what if no result comes out? What will happen? What will people say? What will the others say? What will happen to me? Anxieties, doubts. These are obstacles from within which are more formidable than obstacles from outside. Engage in Lord Ram's service with further enthusiasm. And Hanumanji doubled his enthusiasm and started working with greater vigor. And the Lord was pleased from within his heart and gave him direction to go to the proper place. And there he found Sita in Ashok Vatika, where there is no shok, there is no distress, free from distress. Where there is bhakti, there is no shok, no distress. Therefore Hanumanji ultimately was able to find Sita Devi there, but not before going through so many challenges. And when Hanumanji returned back and informed Lord Ram about his success, Lord Ram was so happy that he said, I just wish that I had something to give you, but my only regret is I do not have anything to give you at this moment when you have come here in front of me. What can I give you? I am a beggar. I am in the forest. I am poverty stricken. I can't give you anything. But all I can give you is, I can give you my embrace. If you want, I will reward you with my embrace. That is the maximum I can give you. And Hanumanji said, what else can I ask for? This is the greatest reward you can give me. To be embraced by the Lord is the greatest fortune. And Hanumanji, with great pleasure, he accepted the Lord's embrace and was satisfied. Therefore, how could Hanumanji please the Lord? He had completely dedicated himself in the Lord's service. And the Lord does not allow any service to go unrewarded. The Lord looks at every devotee's service and from within the heart will give his mercy when the time comes. And Bhagavatam describes that anyone who listens to the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra, Ramayana, will become free from the disease of envy. That is the Phalastuti for the two chapters of Bhagavatam explained, Ramayana explained in Bhagavatam in 9th canto. In two chapters, complete gist of Ramayana is given. And also Mandodari is crying out, Loka Ravana Ravana. Ravana means one who gives misery and distress to others. So that propensity is there within our heart. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, to be envious is a great disease. And to be envious of other devotees' spiritual progress is a great offense. Very dangerous offense, which can prove deadly in our spiritual life. Therefore, to be envious of others is not good. To be envious of other devotees could be fatal for our spiritual life. Therefore, we have to take shelter of the Lord and pray to Him to free us from this disease of envy. Envy means we want to be the master, we want to be the enjoyer, and we cannot tolerate seeing others having this position. So we are all suffering from this disease and we have to become cured. And on this day of Ram Vijayotsav, when Lord Ram, with his sharp arrow, on being encouraged by Matali, his chariot driver, shot the arrow which went straight into the heart of Ravana, and Ravan, vomiting blood, fell down on the ground completely dead. It is our hope that using the instructions of Lord Ram, Harikatha is like that arrow. And if we accept that arrow within our heart, through our ears, that will ultimately result in the great deadly Ravana-like disease of envy to be destroyed and finished. Initially, Lord Ram had to shoot so many arrows, and every time a head would be finished, again it would reappear. Ravana had that benediction, so it was not very easy. Every time he would shoot one of the heads off, again reappear. And ultimately he had to hit it right at the heart. Therefore, on our path of spiritual progress, greed, pride, envy, anger, illusion, they are very formidable enemies. We cannot finish them off so easily. They may appear to have gone away, but they will again reappear, just like Ravana's head, at the least expected moment. Therefore, it's a long struggle. The battle between Ram and Ravan, the final battle, went on for a long time. There was not even a gap, it is described, of one fraction of a second, there was no rest. Therefore, our devotional service has to be of that quality. Unrestricted, unmotivated devotional service. Uninterrupted, continuous devotional service. There are no vacations in bhakti, because Maya Devi doesn't take any vacations. She doesn't take any break. You will never have Maya going for a break on Sunday or any other day. Maya works 24 hours a day, and for devotees, she works overtime. Therefore, a devotee has to be more careful and has to take protection of the Lord and His devotees. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Jaya Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Prabhu Ramchandra Bhagavan ki. Kaurpyamanande.